Right now, though, what exactly was talked about among superintendents across the state of Connecticut, as well as other education officials in our state? The challenges, but also the good things we're seeing in our schools. Joining us now is Fran Rabinowitz to give us a little bit of an insight into what happened this week. Let's start with the good, Fran, and thank you so much for calling in. What were some of the key takeaways, and what is working right now for Connecticut schools overall?
Well, good morning, Melissa, and good morning to everyone. I think it was some very good messages at the back to school. We talked about the goals for the state. We certainly talked about chronic absenteeism being reduced, and we talked about the opportunities that exist in Connecticut for all kids, and they were. There was a discussion of very unique opportunities that some of us didn't know. For example, some opportunities with the National Guard. And we've also talked about AI careers coming forward. And, you know, we ourselves need to learn a whole lot about AI. And Dr. Riley, who used to be the commissioner of Massachusetts, talked to us about that. It was just a very hopeful event. I was able to honor the superintendents, 29 of them that have 10 years or more, and talk about some of the statistics, which are not all that positive in my book, on superintendents. 51% of them are new to their district since 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, and the average stay for a superintendent is 4.4 years, which pretty much mirrors the national average, but it's a little disconcerting. I remember
that's a lot of turnover. That's a lot of turnover and a lot of change. Oof.
It's a lot of change, Melissa. And the thing is, we all know change doesn't happen overnight when you're trying to make change in a school district. So I do think it's something we need to reflect on and think about. And, you know, I think there's much more turnover today with educators, period. But, you know, I mean, it's a sobering statistic. It was for me as well. Hasn't changed over the years, by the way, over the last 3 years. But every time I confront it, it's sobering.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Fran. I think that was one of the biggest disappointments I had. I don't know how many expectations I had in the debate earlier this week for the presidential election, but I was disappointed that shortages, specifically the education sector, it was not touched on even a little bit. Education was not touched on for either candidate at all. And I don't know if I was disappointed with the candidates as much as I was disappointed with the moderators. I thought, what planet are we on that we are not focusing on the mental health crisis and the need for more staff, the need for mental health counselors, the need for more support in our schools, the need for more funding? I have to say that was the biggest takeaway for me when I was watching the debate, staying up past my bedtime, was that education was not talked about at all. The one thing that was mentioned was tuition for college, and it was more of a backhanded comment, but nothing about education came up in that debate. And I thought, what a disappointment, honestly.
Yeah, and I think that even if you read the papers right now, the education teacher shortage is not as noted.
That's crazy. Yet, it's ridiculous.
It's every bit as bad as it was last year. You know, the suburban districts may be filling their positions, but they certainly don't have paraprofessionals. I know that. And
right.
I know special education and bilingual and math and science, and certainly our challenged districts like Bridgeport. And it's very difficult to fill those positions. And it's an issue. And here's what I think. A part of it is we made it through last year, right? And that's what happens. People just are used to educators fixing it, I think. And that But that is not reality. We need a huge movement nationwide, and certainly in Connecticut. We have a surplus of dollars right now, and we need to enhance the profession. I agree with you.
Fran Rabinowitz is the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. Fran, you were in attendance for this back to school meeting. It's an annual meeting, and superintendents across the state all show up to talk to the commissioner of the Department of Ed, talk to education professionals like yourself, and really talk about the good, the bad, the in-between. Absenteeism was certainly looked at. We know that we are trending in the right direction. That's fantastic for Connecticut. Hopefully that continues. But something that was actually highlighted specifically here in Stamford was that districts like Stamford, they can't deal with the issue of mental health. The incredible concerns and continuous challenge of dealing with student mental health. What would you say the state needs to do to provide more resources for that?
Well, I certainly think the state has provided some resources, but we need more. We certainly do not have the psychologists, social workers, all of that to deal with it. But I'm going to go on a little different tangent. I also believe that in places like Stamford and Bridgeport, et cetera, we don't have the class size that allows teachers to talk with kids either. The class sizes are large. The mental health professionals are not there. It is incredibly difficult. So I think we need more resources there. And I also think, to be honest with you, that we need to think differently about delivering those mental health resources in a proactive way. What I mean by that is we have lots of nonprofit mental health agencies. I, as superintendent, needed those during the day. If I had to do it again, if I were still a superintendent, I would probably be looking for ways to break down the walls so that I could have them set up offices within the schools. One of the good benefits of our enrollment being down a bit is that you can find room for them. And I would have an office because I needed that mental health professional at 10 a.m., not at 5 as much. When the child was having a meltdown at 10, that's when I needed them.
We're encouraging kids not to miss more than 5 days of school because we've run our data. And when you look at kids who have missed less than 5 days versus kids who miss more than 15 days, it's a huge difference in graduation rate. But I think the biggest thing is our students have a trusted adult that they're able to come to, that they have a sense of belonging in our school system.
The yin to the yang, right? So we've got absenteeism is trending in the right direction, but mental health, not so much. You were just hearing from Stamford's superintendent of schools. Dr. Lucero was talking to our media partners over at News 8, and we were just talking about mental health challenges with Fran Rabinowitz, who is the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. She's also a former superintendent right here in Bridgeport. And, you know, from mental health challenges, Fran, to taking on too many roles as a teacher, I'm curious, did any conversations come up at this week's annual back to school meeting among the superintendents across the state? Any conversations about handling cell phones and social media?
Oh, yes. And that's the next piece I wanted to get to, Melissa. You know, yes, it is one thing to have the health professionals to treat our kids. But I think we have to look at why are our kids having the mental health issues that they're having? Mm-hmm. And yes, I mean, the social media piece has come up over and over again. The time spent on cell phones, the fact that kids feel isolated, the fact that kids aren't playing together enough and moving together and just having fun and conversations and problem solving together. I mean, I told you before, I read The Anxious Generation this summer, and
I still need that book. I need that book.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. The Anxious Generation, and we're bringing in Jonathan Haidt, the author for Superintendents in March, because I think it is a major thing that we all need to come to terms with, not just the schools. Yes, we're putting them away. But with families, we've got to understand that this is having a profound effect on our kids.
What do you think, Fran, about, and it doesn't have to be you personally, but I'd love to know from the room that you were in. I mean, you've got a lot of powerful educational leaders in Connecticut all coming together. They all want what's best for our children. And universal cell phone usage policies. The reason I ask that is because we know that earlier this summer, they rolled out guidelines if school districts want to adopt a cell phone policy. And some have. We've got Wilton, who's doing one all the way through till high school. We've got Stanford, who rolled theirs out just for the middle school students, just to give some examples. Others who are not doing anything at all. What do you think about creating, even just for elementary and middle school, some kind of universal no cell phone usage in schools?
So, Melissa, I'm going to be a little controversial on this.
Love that.
Connecticut is a land of steady habits, and I have not seen universal, mandates work very well.
Fair. That's fair.
What I think is important is that we have the pioneers, and there are a lot of them. I mean, there are very few that don't have any policy, but many have policies of just you can't use it in class. I don't think that solves the whole picture here, but I think it's a beginning, and I think we need to be a bit patient. I think this is going to catch on very, very quickly, and so universal mandates. I just lived through the reading mandate. It doesn't go well, and I think that as much as it sounds like that would be phenomenal, I think we just need to give it some time, not a lot of time, but some time to make it happen throughout Connecticut.
I guess maybe mandate is not the right word, but I mean, there are policies that the average, I would think, school district has to follow. Like, you know, for example, I believe, I don't know for sure, but isn't that just a public school rule that you can't like wear caps in school, or that you can't wear like show your midsection? You can't wear inappropriate clothing. I don't know if that's like a rule or something. No, that's not a rule.
No. Those are
independent schools.
School boards. Yeah.
Got it.
I'm hoping that superintendents and school boards do come together. I think the governor had the right idea. I mean, when I did the survey, most school districts already had policies. The difference is they all don't lock them up in the beginning of the day and give them back at the end of the day. But I did do a survey, and I think there were very few that had nothing in place.
Okay.
Most at the elementary level, it doesn't seem to be an issue that most of the kids don't have cell phones, I hope.
Right, I hope so too. It'd be a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Exactly. Oof. Middle school is a major, major issue. And then high school, by the time they're juniors and seniors, they handle it a little bit better. But honestly, it's an epidemic in my book. I mean, even with adults, I don't mean to just say something, but you go out to dinner and you've got two adults and they're both on their phones. You know what I mean? There's an issue. It leads to isolation. It really does. And loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just it. If you're modeling that at home, you know, where do the kids get it? That's the one thing our counselor will always say on this show, is that these habits, they are taught, not caught. And so, yeah, it's an epidemic for adults. So certainly we have to imagine it's going to be an epidemic for our kids as well. Fran Rabinowitz, always love chatting with you. You have such great insight, and you were attending this annual meeting, and I'm glad that I got to see a little snippet of what was talked about earlier this week among some of our educational leaders across the state. And Fran is the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents right here on WICC.